right. Hello, 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 gang. Welcome to another episode of the Sell by Being Human podcast. I'm your host, Alex Smith, and this is the podcast where we learn from people in all walks of life who sell things through the lens of human connection. I truly believe we can learn things, human skills from people all around us. This is the place where I'll bring the very best of those people together. And we have one of those people on the podcast today. Just another amazing person I've met through the Outlier Project community. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And Scott McGregor, who you've heard from on the podcast, and Megan Riley and Tabitha Cavanaugh, and so many others. What that's all about. But this person is someone I just adore. She's had an awesome career in sales and executive leadership positions and customer service. She's been with IBM for, you know, a 25-year career. She's recognized as a top 10 business coach by Apple News. This person's a podcast host, a founder, an author. She's a coach, executive leadership coach. She's a founder. I love her title, the Chief Heartbeat Officer of her company that she founded, Heartbeat for Hire. And, you know, where she really just helps executive leaders and their culture and driving sales. And she's just an overall great person. And we'll even talk the latest, you know, just feather in her cap is being a guest lecturer at Harvard. You know, first Harvard guest lecturer on the podcast in over 100 episodes. Please welcome none other than Lindsay Dowd to the podcast. Welcome, Lindsay.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining it even on short notice. So we're going to get into a ton of stuff, Lindsay. I love your story. I love, you know, how you made a career pivot kind of late in your career and founding a company and now doing just all sorts of great things. And I see you in the community as someone just, you know, yeah, you're just really good at genuinely connecting with people. And I think what you kind of coach leaders on are creating these environments where I hear you say things like, hey, when your people feel like genuinely cared about, that you see that leadership sees them. Yes, you can do that still by making money, and it's not you know, creating cultures of coziness and comfort necessarily, but creating cultures of, you know, mutual respect and understanding and empathy. And so we'll talk a little bit about how you do that. Before we get into to all the these different skills that people can take away and human-centered leadership, I always ask people, Lindsay, a signature question. And so it's this. It's when I say the term to you, Lindsay, sell something, but sell it by being human. What does that mean to you? And what do you think about when I say that thing to when that phrase to you?
I would say when you sell something by being human, it's the same way that I coach my leaders. It's all about connection. It's about relationships. It's about finding out what your clients' goals are, what makes them successful. And Samantha McKenna is probably hands down my favorite sales leader that I follow on LinkedIn. And she trademarked Show Me You Know Me, which I've been trained in 1,000 different kinds of sales, maybe not 1,000, but maybe like 10. And so I've certainly had a lot of different programs thrown my way. I've been trained in a lot of programs, but the simpler, the better. And what she talks about is Show Me You Know Me. So you're going to go sell to someone, do your homework, find out what makes them tick. Where did they go to college? Do they have kids? Do they talk about their dog? Like, what kinds of things can you relate to them in a really simple way? First of all, you're going to stand out because other people aren't doing it. But you're trying to build rapport. And when you build that rapport and you start to connect with people and you start to really ask them about themselves and you're a listener, I think that a lot of salespeople tend to get nervous and they talk too much. And so really kind of taking that pause and letting your client talk, you're going to get so much insight. It's just so good. So remembering that every good sales relationship comes from just that, a relationship, and build that for the long haul.
Yeah. I love, like, you know, just like the word relating to people. I mean, people like sometimes struggle with like, you know, like maybe if I don't have anything in common, I can't relate to them, but we all have the ability to just find, like, let someone know that we did just a minimal amount of homework to show that we cared, right? And instead of going to someone and asking, you know, where do you live? Like, tell me about yourself or like what, you know, yeah, what's your background and stuff like that. There's just so much you can find out. I think like before you think, okay, let me ask this person about themselves, maybe let me come to them with what I've already found about themselves and then follow that up with a question. You can kind of say, you know, not just that you live somewhere, but hey, I've never been there. Where do I need, you know, where are the greatest restaurants? Where are the places to go? I see that you like this, like tell me more about that. And so it shows a different level of intention when you even just do those little things. Like, I don't know what you think.
I think there's been a bit of a paradigm shift in the working world in that once we got through the pandemic, I mean, during the pandemic, we were in each other's homes for the first time in a long time. Sometimes we were in people's bedrooms, but you got to see their kids, you got to see their dogs, you got to certainly see how they were decorating or not. And it became more personal and people were interested by that. And so now we have a much more acceptable people showing up as a 360 degree human. And my dear friend Joanna Lohman coined a phrase yesterday called professional. So it's the combination of personal and professional. And I have on my LinkedIn profile that I'm a mom of twins and that I love wiener dogs. And I can't tell you the amount of people that connect with me on those things. I mean, and I can tell if they've read my LinkedIn profile because they go through the about me section and they're like, you do Pilates? I love Pilates, or I've always wanted to try that. Whenever you can hit something that someone else is interested in, you're going to rise to the top over other people. And so showing up that way makes you much easier to relate to, but it's also on you to go find out what your client likes and what are their concerns. Go look at what they've been posting on LinkedIn or their other social feeds. And if you can come in with, hey, I'm a Buffalo too from Boulder, like, cool, we already connect on something. So yeah. It makes you look better.
Yeah. You're giving me that, you know, that thought to maybe add that little line. It's folks for, you know, you'll have a link to Lindsay's profile, but it's just a simple, very succinct line. And it comes after her about section of all the things that she's done, but then just, she just has a personally section, you know, and I love that that phrase, like, professional,
You know, that's cool, right?
Because yeah, we're not either or, we're, and it's, We don't, some people like, yeah, like it's not business, it's personal, leave the personal at the door. But, you know,
not anymore
as much. And I know that like people are hungry for that. People aren't asking about that. So if you went to Lindsay and just said, awesome, like tell me your, you know, and she, like the first thing I said, like she brought her dog on and I, you know, she, her dog has an awesome name. Tell the audience, Lindsay, what your dog's name is.
Her name, I'll show it to you. So her name is Poppy Long Sausage. She's a little sleepy, but she's a miniature long-haired dachshund, and she's less than thrilled to be on camera at the moment. But she's big on Instagram.
I love it. So, you know, you have that sort of thing. You have, you know, people, you can ask people, like, it's like, I can make a mean cocktail and love to entertain. Like, what's your favorite cocktail, Lindsay? That sort of thing. And, oh, that you don't have to say, I went to your LinkedIn profile. You just already know, you already know because you're like, okay, wow, that person did some work on me. So I really love, you know, just kind of the thought of like using different things in your conversations with people to just kind of stand out in that way. Maybe, you know, take us back a little bit, Lindsay, because I know like, it seems like, you know, you've created your company Heartbeat for Hire and your title Chief Heartbeat Officer. You obviously care about heart-centered leaders. Tell me where you first saw this in your career. A lot of us, you know, early on in our careers, maybe, I don't know if it's taken a while and I don't know if it was somebody at IBM or after, but can you point back to a leader who kind of exhibited the things that you stand for in your company? And what were those things that they did well?
I have a few, but first let me just say, you know, I was the only female in a male technical landscape for many, many years. And so the only leadership that I understood was what I saw, which was very bro code, fraternity, exclusive to women. Even the guys who were good to me and kind to me, like, they risked something being close to me. And that sucked. So, and women have to navigate in a different way than men do. We have to speak male and female. But when I did have the opportunity to have a female leader, one of them, her name was Sherry, she was phenomenal. And we were friends, but when she became my boss, this is a great story. I had a really important client. It was I had $150 million quota. This client was, we were competitors, we were business partners, and we were each other's clients. So talk about strings attached. It was very, very complex with, you know, just a lot of visibility. And I was presenting to her my plan for how I was going to approach this client. And she stopped me about 2/3 of the way through. And she said, "Girl, I've got your back. Now fly." And at that moment, it took my breath away.
I love
that. It was really impactful, so much so that I took that to mean, okay, if I fail, I'm not getting fired. I've got somebody who's got my back. So I had this big team of like 55 people. And so I took that same comment and turned it to my team and was like, what haven't we tried? What haven't we done? Let's try something new. And we did. And we completely changed the relationship with this client, so much so we closed the largest deal any of us had ever seen. And it completely changed the way we were going to work with this client moving forward. But it stemmed from that moment of that leader saying those words to me. And you cannot underestimate as a leader how impactful your words are. And yeah. I've had terrible leaders and I've had brilliant leaders. But when a leader is awful to you, it's like a form of trauma. It's really, really tough. And for those people that say, "Oh, it's business, it's not personal." Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, go. I love that you asked, but go ahead. Just go for it.
Because it is personal. It is hard work. Agreed. It is your blood, sweat, and tears. It is your time spent, likely more time than they ever planned on you working. So when someone says, "Oh, you know, don't get upset about this," or "don't get emotional." No, I'm sorry. That's bullshit. Of course it's emotional because you're putting your heart into your work. And when someone disses you or says you did a bad job, that hurts. It hurts bad.
Yeah.
So as leaders, consider how you give that feedback. It's really important. And just know you're being watched. You're an example, whether you like it or not. And if you got into leadership, there are hard things that we do in leadership. And how you deliver your messages on the day-to-day will help you deliver those hard messages when you have to do them.
Yeah.
I like story?
Yeah, go ahead for it. Yeah, I love it.
So I had another amazing female boss, and she promoted me twice. And the first time she promoted me, she said something I'll never forget. She goes, "All right, so how do you want to run your business?" And I was like,
"Hey, what business?
You want to know? Like, okay, I have this whole like team now. You want to know what I want to do? You're not going to just tell me?" She's like, "You've been doing it longer than I have. You know more than I do. Yeah. How do you want to do it?" And I was so inspired by that. And so again, I turned around to my team. I said, "We have an opportunity to do things differently. What do you want to do? What things do you think we haven't tried? What do you think will work?" And I called my team Mavericks and Hustlers, and they wore that proudly. They were really, really happy to be weird and to be thinking differently than other people. But that came from knowing we had support and that we had psychological safety. And that is a huge piece of modern leadership.
I love the just asking and empowering the person under you. Like, how often do you, like, you know, people don't realize, like, you can, you know, almost like just add so much fuel to someone's career just by a simple phrase, you know, like that, like, "Girl, I got your back," or, you know, "Hey, how do you want to run your business?" You're like, wow, I can do way more. Like I was just trying to like, you know, make, you know, not get fired. I was just trying to do decent work, you know? Yeah.
Let's think about the difference of, I just don't want to get fired versus I'm so inspired. I can't wait to do more. And that's the gold standard. That's modern leadership, inspiration, not manipulation. If you are instilling fear in your people, they will never be inspired. If you are a micromanager, no one has ever been inspired by micromanagement. No one. So you can manage their process, every moment they breathe, everything they do, but that person will never go above and beyond for you. They will never think outside the box. They will do whatever they have to do to get you off their back and not get fired. Now, what kind of employees do you want to have working for you? Inspired or fearful?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, you know, clearly like inspired would get the most out of that person to go beyond what they're just being told to do, because yeah, now they have their herd, they're running their own business. And so, you know, I love that. Yeah, no one's ever inspired by you know, fear or micromanagement, right? You know, I think like tell me like, you know, kind of when you navigated such a, like an awesome career at like one of the world's best companies. Like I heard you say you went from customer service person to executive. Like,
well, not one leap. I mean, there was, I know, like jobs along the way.
Tons yeah. of jobs along the way. Yeah. But like even, you know, people just couldn't even, I'm sure you probably didn't even see that coming, you know, like when you first came and then left, you know, 20 some years after that. But you know, what do you think if there was like a thread, like in, when you look back at your career, was there a thread that like you think helped you like move that corporate ladder or then, you know, kind of ascend? Like, have you ever thought about things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think about it a lot because I think about what inspired what I'm doing now. And I mean, I have so many examples from early days until, you know, what I'm doing today and the clients that I serve. But I do think one thing, I always wanted to be inspired by people. So anytime I saw somebody doing it well or somebody doing it right, I connected with them. And it wasn't just a, you know, I'll be connected on LinkedIn, because I really didn't know how to use LinkedIn. I've been on it since 2006 and I really haven't been intentional with it until like the last 2.5 years. But I would really seek out those people. And one thing we had at IBM that I've not seen at many other companies is what I called a culture of advocacy. And that culture of advocacy was essentially saying, I want you to go and have an executive interview with someone outside of our reporting chain. You want exposure to this leader, but they need to know you too. And especially if I was looking for a job and ready for a change, this was a really great practice. But 3 different jobs I got because of this exact process. So one time I reached out to this woman, Melinda. She was a VP. I knew she was hiring. Her team was growing really fast. And she said, tell me your story. And I did. I said, based on what you heard, is there anything on your team that you have, like any openings? She said, Linz, I love your story. And yes, I have 5. I'm like, what? I have 5 openings. You can pick. I can pick? Oh my God. So she basically described these jobs and I got to pick what I wanted, which is really cool because you could chart
Amazing.
Your course of your career. And when you can allow for that, first of all, your leaders have to be secure in themselves and know that if your people are going to interview with other executives, it's okay. And my thing was for people on my team, if they wanted to go and interview for another job, even if I didn't think they were ready, I always supported them because I only wanted people on my team who really wanted to be there. And so if there was ever a situation where someone's like, hey, I'm thinking, go, I got you. I'll recommend you and I'll, you know, give them my perspective on your good work, whatever. But when you are secure enough to say, I am advocating for my people, I want to see them win, that's a really good look on you. So I always found leaders like that. I always found mentors like that. And I think that served me well. I actually, here's a story I don't tell very often, but I had a boss who I heard was trying to move me and a bunch of other women out of the business. And what that boss didn't know at the time was I was pregnant with twins. And I saw it coming. Someone gave me a heads up that it was coming. And you can imagine, first of all, it's emotional already being pregnant. But being pregnant with twins, my hormones were like full tilt.
I bet.
So, you know, to know I'm about to lose my job, that's really scary. And this one VP of marketing, I had a friend who knew this was coming. And so she advocated for me and she says, you need to talk to Lynn. She's awesome. And so this woman reached out to me and she said, set up some time with my assistant and come and meet me in Cambridge. And so I did. And I was giving myself a pep talk the whole ride there. I'm like, you're not going to cry. You're going to keep it together. You're very factual. And I got there and she's like, so what's going on? And I'm like, and she said, listen, I know who that leader is. I don't like him. And you're going to come and work on my team. I don't know what you're doing yet. We're going to find a spot for you. Don't worry. But we got to do it fast because I'm about to be promoted to like worldwide vice president of communications. Like she was getting a really big job. And so I came over. Didn't know what I was doing for like the first week because they hadn't figured it out. And then I got this amazing job that I was really able to shine and chart my career properly. But it was just such a testament. And that leader, I said to her, I said, how can I ever thank you for this? And she said, you're going to pay it forward. You're going to do this for someone else. And I have many times. But that belief and that safety you feel with someone who says, I've got your back, you're going to be okay. That's huge. And you can do amazing things when you've got that kind of support. So that was like midway through my career, but it's, I still live to tell the tale.
I love this story. And I feel like anybody could do this at any time in their career. I always say like, we're always ahead of someone and maybe behind someone in our careers, like no matter where we're at, no matter what we've achieved, like someone has maybe, you know, we've like achieved things, even if we're not like where we necessarily want to be, we've achieved way more things than, you know, people just starting out or in school or whatever. And we have the power to pay it back to someone. Someone taught us something at somewhere along the way. And, you know, you just having that belief that you could transfer to someone else is so huge. I've heard the quote, like it's a football player in that, you know, a documentary. So Jason Kelsey, you know, plays for retired for the Eagles, brother of, you know, Travis Kelsey, says in his documentary, like the greatest gift one human can give another human is belief. Yeah. And I agree because like if you have that, you're like, wow, I'm making progress. Like I'm not just crazy. Like I am doing something here, you know?
And especially when it's someone you respect and someone you really admire and they say, you impress the heck out of me. I've got you. Here's the spotlight. Shine. You know, one thing I tell people all the time is you do not have to be a leader to leverage recognition. And leveraging recognition is a power skill. We don't call them soft skills around here. We call them power skills.
Yeah.
But leveraging recognition is something everyone can do. And if you're an entrepreneur, guess what? You can go write recommendations for people on LinkedIn. And when you do that, 9 times out of 10, they're going to turn around and write you one in return.
Yeah.
If you are in a corporate environment and there's people helping you with your contracts or helping you with financing or helping you with some other part of the business, send a note to their manager and tell them how important they are to you and copy them on the note. Those moments put so much wind in people's sails. And as a leader, I always shudder when I find the leaders that are fearful about letting their people shine. And they're insecure and thinking, well, if I let them claim this idea, then it's not my idea. And they're going to wonder, what was I doing? No. That's not how it works. When you give the spotlight to someone else, you are letting them shine. And that's a good look on you. They're your direct report. They're your people. So yes, of course, that's going to reflect well on you. And you should do that. My brother is a VP of sales, and he had a leader was terrible. He had a leader and he said, hey, you know, I've been thinking, I really love this idea. Let me run it by you. And his boss kind of poo-pooed it and was like, no, not right now, but whatever, thanks. 4 minutes later, they're on like a huge senior leadership call and his boss claimed the idea as his own in front of everybody. And my brother was just outraged and there was nothing he could do. That is like the worst example of leadership that, well, not the worst, it's one of the worst, I have many, but that's a really bad one. And it's just unnecessary. It is such a insecure way to lead. So leverage recognition in your life. It's so, so important. And recognize your kids. That's another one. It's an easy one.
Oh my gosh, we could go have a whole podcast on just that. We'll get into that because you do, like, I love your, you have your mother to teenage twins, boy, girl, yes, teenagers. So that's probably a whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, what I love is that anybody could do this in their career. Yeah. Like they could do that. Those notes I've done myself, like, you know, if I've won something, if I've lost something, I'll send a note to like someone's, like to my client's boss and be like, hey, I just want to say, like, I've been on lots of calls like this, and I work with a lot of people in your employee's position, and I just wanted to call out, you know, Jane, because, you know, she did this so well, and like she prepared and she did so much research and she asked so many good questions, like when she told us this, not too many people do that. You have a real star in your hands. I just wanted to call that out and let you know. And sometimes I don't CC the person, but sometimes I probably should. And just, it's such a good look. Cause it's, yeah, totally CC him. Cause it shows, like, it's not like you're trying to, like, you know, get brownie points or something like that. It's just genuine, you know, yeah. Like you're not asking for anything.
And you know what? I coach people to do this exercise. It's called building your brag book. So when you build your brag book, this is like for anybody that is considering a career change or even for seeking a promotion, what this is a document that lives with you through your entire life. So this is a collection of your accolades, your accomplishments, your pats on the back, your kudos, your awards, like all of the good things that you've done, records you've set, things that nobody before you has built. And you add to it. And anytime you're interviewing, it's right at your fingertips. And when they say, oh, have you ever done that? Actually, yeah, I have. In fact, I won an award for that. Or yeah, I got promoted because of that. Or actually, let me tell you a story about that. And it's right there. And so I always kept a folder called a pats on the back folder in my email at work. And so anytime I got one of those notes, it went right in there. And if I was having a particularly rough day, I could go in and look and be like, okay, nope. Those are facts, not feelings. This is good.
Yeah. So, when you don't do that, it's hard for you to find that. Like you have a bad day and it's so much worse because you're like, I'm failing. You think it's pervasive. It's permanent. It's, you know, all the time. It's just, you know, it's you. And it's like, it just could be that day. It could be that moment. It could be that person. It's not personal. It's not pervasive. It's not permanent. As Dan Pink says in his book that we, this is named after, To Sell as Human. It's, you know, it's, those things help you understand, you know what, like when bad things happen, none of those things, you know, the next day will be better. And I have evidence of this directly right here and I'll get more of it. So I love that you actually put on your LinkedIn. This is another kind of, you know, tactic I guess you could do is, you know, when you know, take those brag like book things and brag, you know, like we think it's like self-serving to like, you know, to sell ourselves or to put those out there. But someone said them about us, that's an award. Like maybe we didn't get an award, but like if someone gave us a good recommendation, if someone, you know, gave us a good email, like why should we be the only ones that hear that or our bosses? Like the world should know, like, okay, if you're going to work with me, this is what people say about me. So you have a section, what people say about me. And this is just genuine stuff that people say. Like she's direct, open, and honest. She identifies superpowers. She has radical candor and she instilled the importance of being an authentic leader. Like, holy crap. Like if I'm looking for a coach like that, like, and this is what other people say, I want to contact Lindsay, right? And you know, so you don't have to sell yourself. It's other people doing that for you.
And so, what this also helps you do, though, it helps you build your personal brand. And this is something everybody needs to do. Yeah. I don't care if you're in corporate, you're an entrepreneur. There is no such thing as job security. There is only career security. And you have to build that for yourself. Mm. And what people forget is when you're Googled, which is every job search starts with a Google, the first thing that comes up is your LinkedIn page. That is your landing page. If you don't have a website, that is the first thing they see. So make it good. Don't waste the precious real estate with a gray avatar. Like, have a good picture of yourself. Have a banner that says who you are. Have a really good curated headline that projects who you want to be known as. These are really important things for building your personal brand. And no, I'm not shy about talking about, I wrote a book and I have a podcast and I've got awards. Like, I'm proud of that stuff. And none of that stuff would have happened if I didn't get fired, which we haven't even talked about. But yeah, that's a whole nother story. So.
You know, I was doing a training the other day for people on their elevator pitch. And this stuff rings true to me so much too, of what you're saying is that, you know, like, don't just like find, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to, what is my personal brand? It's so hard for people to like really grasp. What do I want to be known for? And then we maybe like put those things out, but maybe what we want to be known for aren't what people see us as being known as. And maybe ask those people closest to you. My advice to people were like, bring in your coworkers, bring in your family, bring in your friends, people from different points of view, and be like, when you think about Alex, when you think about Lindsay, like, what are some words that come to mind? What am I good at? What do you think I'm about? Because what I'm trying to do some work. You can just say, I'm trying to do some work on what I want to be known for and what I'm about. And I have some thoughts, but I want to, you know, ask you, and then find out what people say. And then after figure out the themes, like, what are people like, what's similar? Like, oh, Lindsay's just great at, you know, helping people get out of their own heads, or, you know, she's a great listener, whatever. She's a great friend. All those different things. And you can like, wow, okay. Like, some of these things are exactly what I'm thinking about myself. This is what I am. Right. So, you know, I love, you know, some of that advice. Maybe just kind of like, pivoting more to like what you do for Heartbeat for Hire, how you work with, your clients, and you also have a podcast, and you're also, you know, I know like just having a podcast and connecting is sales in a way. Tell me, like, you know, that concept of, you know, building relationships, connecting, what you say, selling by being human. Like, how does that show up in, you know, your coaching practice for executive leaders, you think?
My reason for being and my purpose in life is to modernize leadership. And we don't have enough great leaders. And if I poll a room of people, and this is something I do when I speak, how many of you have had a bad leader? 100%.
Mm. 100%. Wow.
With zero hesitation. And they will be able to tell you a story like that. Because it is such a personal, horrible moment that they had to live through. And they never forget it. And so I always say, don't be the star of somebody's bad memory. That's exactly what that is.
Oh, wow. I like that.
How many people have had a great leader? Maybe half. Maybe.
Wow.
And that's not enough. It's not enough. And
no, should be so reversed.
When you look at how leadership has evolved, you know, when business really started, it started in manufacturing, right? It was punch cards, and it was systematic, and it was transactional. It was very patriarchal because there weren't any women in the workplace then, maybe some secretaries, but really not in the form of leaders. And that transactional vibe didn't really leave the white collar workspace. People were like, come in, do your job, don't ask questions, and go home. And then, you know, as we started, you know, business started speeding up and we needed more from people, and technology changed, the whole landscape changed. So women started emerging as leaders, and we started noticing different styles of leadership. And you know, you can see that through world leaders too. You know, who are the ones that we related to the most? Who are the people in your life that inspire you? And we have all of these examples from athletes and actors and, you know, whoever, that do things that really get your motor running. They make you think. And what I'm learning and what I've seen, and, you know, I'm always still learning, is that there's not enough teaching on what modern leadership looks like and feels like. And so that's why I wrote my book. That's what I coach about. So I do long-term coaching engagements with C-suites. And so the goal is to work with the whole C-suite to get them singing from the same song sheet, not to take away their personality, not to change who they are as humans, but to help them understand their impact with their words and their behavior. Because my book is called Top Down Culture, see? Because culture starts at the top. And when you're modeling the behavior that you want to see, that will trickle down. If you are running around with your hair on fire, being a total asshole and belittling people and embarrassing people, everyone will think that is acceptable and that is what you appreciate. So your behavior is really a direct connection to the culture that you have. And, you know, when I chuckle when I see people, oh, well, we have free beer on Fridays and ping pong tables and swag. Okay, that's not culture. That's cultural Febreze, as our friend Scott McGregor likes to say. That is spit and shine. That's not anything material that's going to make people have a feeling about the business. Culture is a feeling. And if you have a bad feeling across your organization, you'll have high attrition, you'll have low engagement, low collaboration, low innovation. And what all of this amounts to when you're doing it right is results. And if you think back to some of the stories that I shared before, when I'm inspired, I kick ass. I will do things I never thought I could. I will be so creative and inspire everyone around me. When I had a leader once, this is a true story, horrible. I had just presented on a call and she called me afterwards and she said, I don't like how you represented yourself. I don't like how you represented your company. It wasn't good. Do better next time. Well, how do you think I did next time? I sucked.
Terrible. Yeah.
Terrible. I was so worried about the words coming out of my mouth that I couldn't use my superpowers, which was the ability to read people, my sense of humor, my ability to like assess what they need and listen. I couldn't do any of that because I was so stressed and I was so anxious. And so if you want to watch someone flounder and fail, do that, because that is, no one will be inspired to do their best when they are in a corner. And, you know, I have another story. This is a really cool story, actually. I had a woman on my team. My team was the Island of Misfit Toys. Everybody was coming from different acquisitions. They're like, hey, you got all these people and there's some vision in there somewhere that makes them all work together, but this is your team. And so I had a couple people come over from marketing, and one of the women, her name was PJ, she was putting up zeros for like the first 2 months. And I'm like, oh my God, no one's even taught her how to lie yet. This is sales. Like, everybody puts something in your forecast, even when it's bullshit. And so I pulled her aside and I said to her, I'm like, PJ, let's talk. Do you know, what's going on? Do you understand your job? And she's like, Lindsay, I came here from marketing. I don't. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. I don't know who I'm supposed to be talking to. I am lost. And I said, okay, thank you for telling me that, because now I know where to help. And so I said, okay, so let me tell you, these are the kinds of things you can say. This is the relationships. These are the relationships you own. You are the quarterback for this space. So run with the ball. You've got this. And I've got your back in case you fall on your face. And she was like, really? I said, yeah. Alex, in 6 months, she became my top performer.
No. Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes. So this is real. The stuff has a direct and dramatic impact. And then that woman, same woman, went to become a phenomenal manager. And it was because I gave her a safe space. I told her I had her back. Of course she made mistakes, but we were there to cover for her. We were there to help her. And you have to assume that kind of risk when you are a leader. If someone on your team falls on their face, it's not them, it's you. You own that failure. And you teach them and you show them how to do it right the next time. But you never let anybody take the blame for something like that, especially when they're learning.
Yeah. Wow. I mean,
you
know,
you asked the question though. Hold on. I didn't even answer the question. You asked the question of how do I do this now? So I teach all of these stories.
Yeah.
This is what I teach my clients. And so ideally they get to experience what this is. And I have come across so many leaders who thought they were doing no harm. And they really thought the way they were doing it was the right way. And when I explain, okay, by you saying that, this is how they feel, they go, oh, I don't want to be that guy. I got to fix that. Show me how. And these are subtle human behaviors. This is not rocket science. This is not like I'm not giving you some kind of Pythagorean theorem. This is human behavior. And it can be taught. And that's the cool thing. So when you see these light bulbs go on and you start to see an audience of people that are like, oh, I want to try that. And then they have really good results. Oh, it's so good. It feels so good.
Yeah. Let's talk about like one of these moments, because I know you just came off of one about a month ago that was just a huge moment for you. But before that, I think that kind of, you know, line of questioning, like if you're a leader on this call or you want to be in leadership, just something as simple as like, look, these are subtle behaviors, but not everything that is subtle is, you know, irrelevant or not impactful. Like something that's subtle could be so, you know, massively important, impactful, consequential, right? Like nothing that's subtle isn't necessarily inconsequential. And you just saying something like, when you do this behavior, this is what people feel, you know, and look, whether you think it's right or wrong is irrelevant. It's, you know, how that lands, how that's being received. And when that happens and when people receive it like this, this is the result of their work because of it. Because, you know, yeah, when, you know, just speaking from experience, when you received that be better, do better, like just you, you know, yeah, you didn't do this. It's awful. It's embarrassing. It's like self-defeating. It's shameful. Like you start questioning your whole existence and ability. Like, am I good at this? Do I need to like switch careers? You know, like you go down like this, like, pardon me, like the shit spiral, like real quick. When you could have been on a high, like just, you know, just off of a simple comment, like, hey, look, here's where, you know, here, look, hey, Lindsay, you know, some of the things, and not just serving someone a shit sandwich, saying something good and then bad and then good, but saying like, hey, like, I really care about you. I want to see you succeed. You know, how did you think you did in that? What did you think you did well? Like asking you what that was and then trying to get you to say some things. I'm like, great, I agree with that. Here's one thing, like, I would love to see you do, or where you could, you know, not even improve, but where I think you have an opportunity to grow or lean into. And I'm gonna, you know, I'm here to help. And I'm saying this because like, I want to see you succeed. What do you think about that? Right. And putting it back on them and having a conversation, whether, you know, not just being, you know, just talked at. So, you know,
it reminded me of something that I think is really important for leaders to understand, and that's trust. And trust is your currency. You can shatter trust very, very easily.
Yeah.
And you have to be so thoughtful in how you give feedback. And if there is no trust, let me tell you, anytime you say, hey, can I give you a little feedback? It's never good.
Yeah.
Because if it's good, they're just going to tell you.
Yeah.
But anytime you say, you know, can I give you a little feedback? A little triggering. But if you don't have trust, this is the body language. Sure.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You know, if you want to, and then it just not listened to, or just like, oh, screw
that. They are defeated. Yeah. They are shut down.
I love that. Yeah.
They cannot wait to get off that call.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, when you're constantly telling them, I love how you phrased that. I loved how you showed up for so-and-so today. Your client called me and told me you were excellent at this. When you are constantly providing that kind of feedback, they feel inspired. They feel empowered. And let me tell you, those are not small things. When I had to lay people off, which is the hardest thing leaders have to do. Either put someone on a performance plan, lay someone off, mm-hmm. fire someone. Mm-hmm. Those are the hardest things you have to do. And I never wanted to get good at it. And I never did. But when you have to do those hard things, if you've been consistent in building trust and lifting others up, those messages come easier. And I will tell you, I swear to God, this is so true. When I had to lay people off, this is what happened. Lindsay, I'm so sorry you have to do this. I know it's not your script. I know it's not your words. I'm like, what are you apologizing to me for? I'm affecting your life in the worst way. And I wasn't allowed to say I was sorry.
No, you just have to read a script. Yeah,
you have to do it. But they all knew it wasn't me. And I'm still friends with those people to this day.
Yeah. I can think of, because I've been laid off, and I can think, you know, yeah, it wasn't their words, but then I also thought that, like, they didn't do more, like, they could, there could have been an opportunity to, you know, to write recommendations, to do more that, like, was outside of the legal kind of firing process that I was looking for that maybe I didn't get. So, you know, it's so true. I love that, like, hey, I know it's not your words, right? Like, you're just, because you know the person so well, you've built that trust. You know, before we get out of here, Lindsay, I have to ask you, because it's just so fresh in my mind. You've had an awesome, you know, just career milestone, being able to, like, to guest lecture at Harvard. So tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of what you told these are, you know, just maybe great business leaders, you know, potentially that are entering in the business world. What did you talk about, and what do you think helped you gain? I think the person organizing it gave you a really good kudos to talk a little bit about what they said and what you talked about that day.
Our fellow outlier John Westman, he invited me, and he said, you know, it was a super collaborative moment for us both. It was his class, and he asked me to come in and speak, and, you know, knew I had a lot of stories to share. And so we worked on, I told him, this is what I typically talk about. This is what tends to resonate well, but I wanted him to have a say in the kinds of things I was talking about. And so we built it together, and it was very interesting, because he said, after each story, I want to do a breakout. And I was like, oh, that just took my 45 minutes down to 20, but okay, it's your thing, so I'll do it. Yeah. And so I was telling some of these stories that you heard on this call, and this was a first. In the middle of the presentation, they started clapping, which was really funny. I don't remember what the story was that they were clapping about, but they were really pumped about whatever it was I was saying. That's awesome. At the end of it, he said to me, Lindsay, that wasn't a keynote. That was a key teach. And that was, like, the highest praise you could ever give a speaker. And it was so great that he's now invited me to come back and speak at Boston College. He's a professor there too. So that feels really good. But, you know, this was a group of sales leaders and aspiring sales leaders. And it was a wide age range and a wide range of experience, and all of them found something they could relate to in the conversations. And there were some really good misconceptions that I got to correct. So there was one guy in the room who said, he told John, he didn't tell me this, but he told John, he says, yeah, I have two people on my team. I don't think they're very good, so I just interrupt them all the time. And I looked at John, I'm like, that's rough. That's not leading. Like, that's just making someone feel bad. That's not, you're never going to get good performance from them with that style. And so when he started asking some questions, I didn't put him on blast and call him out on that. I was able to say, hey, listen, you know, when you're doing this behavior, this is how those people feel.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, and he got it. He understood, you know, inspiration versus manipulation really does make a difference. And I think that really helped him a lot.
Yeah. You know, and some of these leaders, like, they were thrown into leadership. They maybe never wanted to be a leader, or they just never tried to learn different skills, or they're leading from their perspective. And maybe that guy is not necessarily a bad person or anything like that. They just don't even know what they're doing. Like, they don't know how they're coming across, and, like, what the effects could be. And it's coming from maybe even a good place of what interrupting that person, because they just don't want, like, whatever they intended. It's just, you know, yeah, it shows why your services are so needed. So thank you for what you do. I always close, Lindsay, with the podcast Sell by Being Human. It's, you know, we all get better through the lens of human connection and getting to know the people that we talk to. And so we can know you so well through LinkedIn, but I always ask people a fun, this is a fun personal question about you where people can hopefully listen to the very end of this episode and pull out a really cool nugget about you. And then you can tell if they really want to get to know you. So the question is this: if I asked your kids, you know, the people closest to you, your friends, your family, what's just something about Lindsay that is just so totally Lindsay? It could be something that you always do. It could be something, a place that you go. Just what is just something that would only or could only happen to Lindsay Dowd? What is just something that is just so totally you? What would they, what do you think they'd tell me about?
I think what the people in my life tell me is that I show up for them. And that comes in a bunch of different forms, physically, of course, but also, it can be small, like just sending a text, I'm thinking about you, or this reminded me of you, or sending something on from Instagram, like, oh my gosh, have a laugh. And I'm very fortunate. Some people collect spoons, I collect people. And so I'm very intentional about who's in my orbit. And I love having a really full life of people that make me laugh, that lift me up, but I do all of that for them too. So I think I'm a pretty good friend and I'm pretty devoted to the people that I care about. So I think that's what they would say.
Awesome. Right on. Well, I would like to think that you're definitely a part of my orbit. I'm just so glad to know you through Scott and the community, and you know, really, really appreciate that, Lindsay. So
you too.
Where everyone can find you, what should they do? Where do you want them to go after this?
So the easiest place to go is to my website, which is heartbeatforhire.com. All of my socials are collected there or connected there. And I'm really active on LinkedIn, but I'm on Insta, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. My podcast is on YouTube. And if you are looking for some really good stories, my podcast, I feature Olympians and CEOs and world champion athletes and philanthropists and actors and authors and Emmy-winning journalists and all these incredible humans who share their stories of resilience with my lens on leadership and culture. So if you liked these stories, come over and listen. They're on YouTube and all the audio platforms. Would love you to check it out.
I'll definitely put some links to everything in the notes. Lindsay Dowd, thank you so much for joining today. It's been awesome.
Oh, thanks for having me, Alex.
Hey gang, this is Alex. Thank you so much for making it to the end. If you heard a quote you liked or got a little bit of value, drop me a line or a comment. It means the world to me. We have great human beings throughout all walks of life every single week who sell through the lens of human connection. And I'll see you on the next episode of Sell by Being Human. Thank you.